Sure, your phone is amazing, but it's not amazing at playing music in your car. CarThing, Spotify's hardware device, is. Easier access to all your playlists, podcasts, and everything you love, with no lock screen or other distractions. CarThing from Spotify. Sure, your phone is amazing, but it's not amazing at playing music in your car. CarThing, Spotify's hardware device, is. Easier access to all your playlists and podcasts, with no lock screen or other distractions, and voice commands of it all. Because a car just isn't a car without your music. That's what Spotify thinks, at least. Your car just got upgraded with CarThing. Get a CarThing from Spotify.
It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
Everybody, I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Nick Agar-Johnson. He is a co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast with Tyler Metcalf. He's also the editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings, and he's also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. On the program, we recap the 2022 NBA Draft. Nick is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
We can't see tomorrow, but we can hear it. And it sounds like a renewable natural gas bus replacing conventional fleets. We're bridging to a sustainable energy future, working today to ensure tomorrow is on. Enbridge, life takes energy.
When it comes to sounding professional in important messages, emails, and documents, small changes make a big difference. But when you write, double-checking turns into triple-checking or even starting over. Grammarly is an all-in-one writing tool that gives real-time writing suggestions, so you can get to the next item on your list in record time. The free version of Grammarly saves you from embarrassing spelling grammar and punctuation mistakes. And with Grammarly Premium's advanced time-saving features, you can boost your productivity, write efficiently, and reclaim precious time in your busy day. Streamline your workflow with seamless integration into Google Docs, Microsoft Office, your browser, your phone, and more. Quickly find the right words with Grammarly Premium's vocabulary suggestions. And get straight to the point with Grammarly Premium's clarity suggestions that cut unnecessary words and jargon to make your sentences easy to follow. Get your point across and confidently hit send with Grammarly Premium. Get 20% off Grammarly Premium by signing up at grammarly.com/podcast. That's 20% off at grammarly.com/podcast.
Keep boredom at bay in any room with reliably fast Wi-Fi throughout your home. All from Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Stream rom-coms in the kitchen, binge biopics in the basement, and take your online teammates where they've never gone before, the guest room. Say goodbye to searching for a signal, and hello to Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Click to learn more. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. In some cases, Panoramic Wi-Fi pods sold separately may be required for extended coverage. Restrictions apply.
It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
Clean, safe drinking water is a necessity, but some Americans lack access. Join us on our newest episode of Sustainably Speaking as we explore solutions to America's aging water infrastructure.
With the first pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Orlando Magic select Paolo Banchero from Duke University.
I can't believe what just happened, honestly. I never would have thought that this would happen. You know, I wanted to be in the NBA, but I didn't know I would be here, man. I really honestly didn't. So this is unbelievable, and I can't speak right now. I'm sorry.
With the second pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Oklahoma City Thunder select Chet Holmgren from Gonzaga University.
Everything. It's a mix of a thousand emotions. And yet I have zero words to explain it. This is, you know, everything I've looked forward to for a long time. You know, OKC Thunder, let's work. Let's work.
With the third pick in the 2022 draft, the Houston Rockets select Jabari Smith Jr. from Auburn University.
This is what I do before every game.
Just calm myself down, and that's what I put on the inside. With my shooting ability and my love for defense, I feel like I can come in right away and just make an instant impact.
The Sacramento Kings select Keegan Murray from the University of Iowa.
Yeah, it's just special. For me, I grew up 20 minutes from campus from the University of Iowa, and I think it's just a dream come true. For me, it's about leading the future of the Iowa program. I think this is the first step in doing that.
With the fifth pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Detroit Pistons select Jaden Ivey from Purdue University.
I work day in and day out to just get to this level. And, you know, I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. And I'm just so happy.
I'm speechless almost. You know, like, this is his dream come true. You know, to be in Detroit, we have so many amazing roots in Detroit. To be able, for him to, you know, be able to walk on that stage, and I'm just so joyful. I'm so happy for him. So I'm just taking it all in, soaking it all in.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio courtesy of the NBA, ABC Sports, and ESPN. That was the NBA Commissioner Adam Silver announcing the first five overall draft picks in the 2022 NBA Draft. Those picks that you heard were Paolo Banchero was drafted by the Orlando Magic. He went number one overall out of Duke University. Then number two was Chet Holmgren. He was out of Gonzaga, drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Auburn University's Jabari Smith Jr. was drafted by the Houston Rockets. Iowa's Keegan Murray was drafted by the Sacramento Kings, fourth overall. And the fifth overall pick was Jaden Ivey out of Purdue University. He was drafted by the Detroit Pistons. And I tell you one thing, the NBA draft is a night that changes the lives of not only the picks, but also changes the lives of the families and everyone associated with these picks. And to talk more about this year's NBA draft, we want to welcome him back to the program. As always, he is the editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA. He's also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. And he's also the co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast with Tyler Metcalf, Nick Agar-Johnson. Nick, welcome back, my man.
Ed, thanks much for having me back. What a wild and crazy draft, as it always is. Tons of trades, tons of fascinating picks, and really looking forward to breaking it all down.
Absolutely. You're right about that, Nick. And again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. I want to start off with the number one overall pick in this year's draft, Paolo Banchero out of Duke University. He was drafted by the Orlando Magic. This was an interesting pick because, Nick, I had been saying this, and there were a lot of draft experts with their mock drafts that came out and said that Jabari Smith was expected to be the number one overall pick, but that was not the case. Paolo wound up being drafted by the Magic. Give me your thoughts on this pick.
It's interesting because it seemed pretty clear, as you mentioned, that Jabari Smith Jr. was going to be the number one overall pick for the Orlando Magic, and that seemed clear basically right up until the day before the draft when all of a sudden, all of the odds in Las Vegas seemed to shift towards Paolo Banchero being the number one overall choice, which sort of seemed like it was an interesting late change by the Orlando Magic in terms of their philosophy. But with Paolo Banchero going number one overall, I mean, he's someone who can provide the potential offensive superstar that the Orlando Magic have needed for quite a long time now. He's someone who you can trust with the ball in his hands, not only as a high-level scorer, but also as a high-level playmaker. So right away, he will provide the Orlando Magic with much-needed scoring touch, and he will also really help as a facilitator for this Orlando Magic team.
I want to stay with Orlando for a moment. You mentioned that Orlando has not been to the playoffs in a while. And, you know, also just want to say that they have a head coach, a new head coach with Jamal Mosley, And then also you've got a lot of young stars on that Orlando Magic team. You've got Cole Anthony. There's Mo Bamba. Also Markelle Fultz is there. You've got Jalen Suggs, who was drafted in last year's draft, if I'm not mistaken. Jalen Suggs, along with Franz Wagner. And, of course, Franz's brother Moritz is there. What's that lineup going to be like, man? Because it can't go nowhere but up for Orlando.
Yes, the Orlando Magic certainly have a lot of room to improve after going 22-60 last season. For them, I think it's really fascinating. I still very much believe in Jalen Suggs in the longer term, and I think he'll still have a lot of opportunity with the ball in his hands. I think he showed quite a bit more on the defensive end last season than he showed on the offensive end, but getting Paolo Banchero into the fold certainly helped out in terms of taking some of the facilitating pressure off Jalen Suggs and Cole Anthony. And then with Franz Wagner, as you mentioned, I think he makes a really fascinating front-court pairing with Paolo Banchero. You know, those are two big men who can really pass the ball. You know, Franz is someone who can slide onto whichever forward is the tougher defensive assignment, which I think will take a lot of pressure off Paolo on the defensive end early on in his career. So the Orlando Magic, I think, are building a really fascinating young core that I think Paolo Banchero slots in right away in ways that make a ton of sense. You know, with Franz Wagner, he's someone who had a lot more of a defensive pedigree heading into last season, and he certainly was impressive on the defensive end for a rookie, but also showed a lot more on the offensive end than I think people were expecting. So the two of them combined with Paolo Banchero, I think, makes a lot of sense as a core for the future. And then Cole Anthony is someone who I think, depending on how Jalen Suggs develops, maybe Cole Anthony is more of a six-man type, but they do have a fascinating group of young players, and Chuma Okeke is someone who also had some real flashes last season. So this Orlando Magic team definitely has nowhere to go but up, but I think that Paolo really does help the long-term upward trajectory for the franchise.
All right, that takes care of the number one overall pick, Paolo Banchero, out of Duke University, being drafted by the Orlando Magic. I want to move along now to the number two overall pick, Chet Holmgren. He was drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder. And Chet, again, the drawback with him is that he's 7 feet, only 195 pounds. But this guy has got a lot of skills, and in his only 1 year at Gonzaga under head coach Mark Few, was able to make a presence felt in the NCAA tournament. Give me your thoughts on Chet headed to Oklahoma City.
So Chet Holmgren was number one on my personal board heading into the draft, and I think the Oklahoma City Thunder is a fantastic fit for him on both ends of the floor. I think in terms of the frame, that those concerns are a bit overspoken in my mind, just because he really does dig in and compete on the defensive end, and there are far fewer centers who can bully him in the post now than there were 10 years ago. So, you know, I think that there aren't that many players who can exploit his relative lack of size early on in his NBA career. I think he's not going to be Giannis Antetokounmpo anytime soon in terms of his frame, but I think that he'll be able to pack on enough weight and muscle to alleviate a lot of those concerns about his frame, which I think are overstated in the first place. But when you look at his game overall, I mean, he's someone who right away with Oklahoma City Thunder is going to be an absolute menace on the defensive end. I mean, you play Chet Holmgren and he'll be able to switch on to pretty much anybody, be a top-tier weak side shot blocker, be someone who can drop back and protect the rim as well and drop schemes. And on the offensive end, you know, he's someone who I think is going to be more of a complimentary player on the offensive end earlier on in his career, which, given that Oklahoma City has Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Josh Giddey to handle a lot of the on-ball responsibilities, I think that, you know, the fact that Chet is not quite there on the offensive end to the extent that he is on the defensive end, his offensive game can come along and develop more slowly alongside the rest of the Oklahoma City Thunder. And, you know, even if earlier on in his career he's just someone who's making the right reads as a passer and spotting up and shooting threes while providing the elite defense that I think he will provide at the NBA level sooner rather than later, I think this is a fantastic pickup for the Oklahoma City Thunder as second overall.
I like this pick as well, Nick. I want to stay with OKC for a moment. So now Chet is a member of the Thunder. You mentioned Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Also, you have Jermichael Green, who is the newest addition to the Thunder, coming over in the trade from Denver. And then you can't forget about Lou Dort, who came out of nowhere in the bubble just a few years ago. And, of course, Josh Giddey, who was someone that was in last year's draft. Give me your thoughts on this nucleus, because Oklahoma City, this is similar to in an Orlando situation. You have a very young team, and it can go nowhere but up for the Thunder.
I think that this young core makes a ton of sense for the Thunder in a lot of ways. I think that between Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Josh Giddey, they have two guys who can really score in Shai's case and really play make in Josh Giddey's case. And I think when you add Chet Holmgren to that mix, you're adding someone who is really going to be huge for shoring up the Thunder defense as someone who can, you know, again, switch on to pretty much anybody, be a huge shot-blocking threat. And, you know, I think that this young core of the Thunder might be able to be good sooner rather than later. It'll definitely be worth seeing sort of what direction the Thunder go in the 2022-2023 season. But I think that this is a team that as soon as the 2023-2024 season could be right back in playoff contention. And, I mean, when you play Shai and Lou Dort and Josh Giddey alongside Chet Holmgren and really – honestly, anybody else I think can fit in with that core four group and make a lot of sense as a lineup construction. So I think the Thunder added a lot of flexibility, especially on the defensive end with adding Chet Holmgren to their young core. And I don't think this is going to be a team that's going to be good next year, but I think as soon as 2023, 2024, they might be a really dangerous up-and-coming team in the Western Conference.
All right, that takes care of Chet Holmgren out of Gonzaga being drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder. We had the third overall pick in the 2022 NBA draft. Jabari Smith Jr. out of Auburn University was drafted by the Houston Rockets. Again, this is another great pick right here. Again, Orlando, Oklahoma City, a young nucleus, and Houston is a team with another young nucleus as well. Give me your thoughts on Jabari being drafted by the Rockets.
You know, again, I think that this is a fit that makes a lot of sense. Jabari, I was pretty sure, was going to be going to Orlando with the first overall pick, so I was a bit surprised when that didn't happen. But with Houston, especially given that they just traded away Christian Wood, I think there's definitely a spot in the rotation for Jabari Smith Jr. right away. I think that he makes sense as a starter power forward who, again, like Chet Holmgren, is someone who's very, very switchable for a big man, defends exceptionally well on the perimeter. And with Jabari Smith Jr., he was one of the best shooters in this draft class, 40% three-point shooter who is going to step in and be an elite shooter at the NBA level right away. I think that he has less potential in his on-ball game than Chet Holmgren or Paolo Banchero, but, you know, with Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. running the show for the Houston Rockets and with Alperen Şengün as a solid offensive big man down low for the Houston Rockets, I think that Jabari Smith Jr. is someone who can slot in right away as a spacing threat on the offensive end who also provides a lot of defensive help as someone who isn't quite a shot blocker but is exceptional defensively on the perimeter for a big man. I think he will be a serious defensive presence at the NBA level sooner rather than later, and I think that his three-point shooting at least will translate right away on the offensive end.
All right, that takes care of Jabari Smith Jr. out of Auburn University, drafted by the Houston Rockets. The next pick belonged to the Sacramento Kings. The fourth overall pick was they selected Keegan Murray out of the University of Iowa. Again, we had a chance to see Keegan, Nick, a lot during the last couple of years, particularly in the NCAA tournament. And Sacramento, again, this is a team that has a lot of youth on their side, and it can go nowhere but up for Sacramento. This is a much-needed boost for the Kings. Give me your thoughts on Keegan going to Sacramento.
So, unfortunately, as a Sacramento Kings fan, I do have to quibble with you saying that there's nowhere to go but up. There's always potential downside for the Sacramento Kings. That's an unfortunate part of being a Sacramento Kings fan. But in terms of the Keegan Murray pick, I was wavering between Keegan Murray and Jaden Ivey at this spot for the Kings, basically since the moment the Kings move up to the fourth overall pick after the draft lottery. But in terms of getting Keegan Murray into the fold, I think it's an excellent choice for the Kings. And even though I personally had Jaden Ivey higher on my board, I think Keegan Murray was right behind him in my mind and someone who makes a ton of sense for this Kings team. he will slot in alongside Harrison Barnes right away as someone who can space the floor as a three-point shooter, who can punish teams when he gets mismatches in the post. He's someone who I think will be an above-average NBA defender sooner rather than later. And surprisingly, the wing/forward has been a serious weak point for the Kings for a number of years now. But adding in Keegan Murray alongside Harrison Barnes, I think, really does shore up their forward rotation. And Keegan Murray is someone who really blossomed in his sophomore season at Iowa and just showed tremendous development from being not a highly touted recruit at all in high school to someone who's now being selected with the 4th overall pick by the Sacramento Kings. And I think there are a lot of directions that the Kings could have gone on draft night that would have been rather unfortunate for them, but I am really a fan of the Keegan Murray pick for them. Even though I was slightly higher on Jaden Ivey personally, I think that Keegan Murray makes a ton of sense, and he's someone who I think has a very high floor as an NBA prospect and will be able to provide offensive help right away and defensive help sooner rather than later.
I want to stay with Sacramento. So now with the Kings drafting Keegan Murray, there's a new head coach for the Kings, former Warriors assistant Mike Brown. He's been at this NBA head coaching thing for quite a while. So he's got this young nucleus already with Murray. And, of course, you mentioned his name, Harrison Barnes. There's Dante DiVincenzo. Can't forget about De'Aaron Fox. Also, you've got Rashawn Holmes, Jeremy Lamb. And then, of course, you can also add Domantas Sabonis, who's been an NBA All-Star. What is Coach Brown going to bring to the table, not just with this young nucleus, but particularly with the new draft pick in Murray?
I think that the biggest thing that Mike Brown brings is the biggest thing that the Kings have been lacking for the past decade, honestly, which is Mike Brown is an exceptional defensive coach who I think got a bit of a raw deal down the end of his head coaching tenure with the Cavaliers and also, you know, didn't exactly get the best shake with the Lakers. But I think after his championship win with the Golden State Warriors as an assistant coach, heavily responsible for their defense, I think right away he brings a top-tier defensive mind to the Sacramento Kings. And, you know, with Keegan Murray, pretty much all rookies struggle on the defensive end during their rookie season in the NBA, but I believe that Keegan will be an above-average defender sooner rather than later, and Mike Brown is one of the best defensive coaches in the NBA, so I fully expect him to improve the Kings as a defensive team overall, and in particular with Keegan Murray, I expect that Mike Brown will really help him out in terms of his defensive fundamentals early on at the NBA level.
All right, and that was the Sacramento Kings drafting Keegan Murray out of the University of Iowa. Let's move along now to the 5th overall pick that belonged to the Detroit Pistons, and they drafted the shooting guard out of Purdue in Jaden Ivey. And you said that Jaden was high on your draft board, Nick. He was very high on a lot of experts' draft boards as well. He was selected by the Detroit Pistons. Give me your thoughts on Jaden heading to the Motor City.
So it's funny because even though I had Jaden Ivey higher on my board than Keegan Murray, I think both of them actually really will benefit from the way that the draft situation played out, because I think that Jaden Ivey is a nearly perfect fit for the Detroit Pistons. He makes so much sense alongside Cade Cunningham. You know, with Cade, you have a bigger point guard type of player. With Jaden Ivey, you have someone who really excelled when he was off the ball at Purdue while also being quite successful when he had the ball in his hands. I think pairing Jaden Ivey with Cade Cunningham, you know, with Jaden Ivey, you're getting one of the best athletes in the draft, if not the best athlete in the draft, someone who is going to be absolutely lethal in transition alongside Cade Cunningham, someone who was a much better shooter than he got credit for during his first season at Purdue, and certainly after he shot much better during his sophomore season, people came around on him as a shooting threat. I think that the Cade-Jaden Ivey combo is going to be fascinating and just a ton of fun for this Pistons squad, and I think the two of them will work incredibly well alongside each other, and I think that right away having those two as the core nucleus for the Detroit Pistons makes them a whole lot more dangerous than I think they were heading into draft night. And, you know, Detroit also ended up with an exceptional athlete in Jalen Duren later in the draft after a trade, and they, I think, were one of the big winners, if not the biggest winner of the 2022 NBA draft. So I think that the Jaden Ivey fit in Detroit makes a ton of sense, and I think that him and Cade Cunningham will do a lot of damage sooner rather than later for this Detroit Pistons team.
Yeah, the excitement is definitely back in the Motor City for this duo, as you mentioned, with Jaden Ivey and, of course, with Cade Cunningham. Cade was the number one overall pick in last year's NBA draft. Let's move along now to the sixth overall pick. That belonged to the Indiana Pacers. And for the first time, Canada represents in the draft as Benedict Mathurin out of the University of Arizona was drafted by the Indiana Pacers. Give me your thoughts on Benedict heading to Indiana.
I think that this is a solid selection for the Indiana Pacers. I think with Benedict Mathurin, he's someone who had some really great moments on the defensive end. He was a bit inconsistent, but I think that that's something that he can work out at the NBA level. And when he was on the defensive end, he was an incredibly impressive defender. And then in terms of on the offensive end, he's someone who's going to be an elite off-ball shooter right away. You know, he's someone who he can run off screens and get – catch-and-shoot looks from Tyrese Halliburton, and I think that he will fit in as a floor spacer basically right away. And then on the defensive end, I think with most rookies, it will take him a year or so to come around on the defensive end. But ultimately, his best moments on the defensive end were really special, and I do buy into him as a top-notch defender in the longer term. And it's interesting because he was the first Canadian selected on draft night, but certainly a good night for Canada in the top 10 of this NBA draft.
Absolutely. And again, Benedict Mathurin was drafted by the Indiana Pacers. He was out of the University of Arizona. And let's stay with Canada. Let's stay north of the border as the seventh overall pick belonged to the Portland Trail Blazers. Shaedon Sharpe was selected out of the University of Kentucky. Give me your thoughts on Shaedon heading to Portland.
This is a fascinating selection in my mind. Shaedon Sharpe, I think, has one of the widest ranges of outcomes of any prospect in this draft class. He was the number one player in his high school class before he reclassified and ended up being eligible for this NBA draft. So for him to end up going seventh overall is a bit of a fall in some senses from where he was in high school, but he also has not played organized basketball in a year. He was at Kentucky, but he didn't actually appear in a game for Kentucky. He was on the squad and practicing, but again, didn't actually have a game appearance this past season. So it is a bit of a gamble by Portland that he really is that kind of level of player, and there's a good chance that it doesn't end up working out for them. But the flip side is that if everything does go right from Shaedon Sharpe, I mean, he is a crazily athletic wing with serious shooting touch who, if everything goes right for him, there's a very good chance that he could end up being the best player in this draft. I think there's unfortunately also a decently good chance that he ends up being one of the more disappointing lottery picks, but ultimately with the Portland Trailblazers, they decided to take a swing for the fences here, and if you're taking a swing for the fences, it makes a lot of sense to go with Shaedon Sharpe given just how good he could end up being if everything breaks right for him at the NBA level.
All right, so that's Shaedon Sharpe, selected by the Portland Trail Blazers out of the University of Kentucky at number seven. The number eighth overall pick belonged to the New Orleans Pelicans. And, Nick, what a season it was for the New Orleans Pelicans. And, of course, they're still benefiting from the Anthony Davis deal that had New Orleans trading Davis to the L.A. Lakers. And in return, the Pelicans getting a load of draft picks. We saw it last year with Herbert Jones, and we saw what he did in the playoffs and him making the All-NBA second defense team. And also we've seen it with Trey Murphy. And we go down under, and the Pelicans drafted Dyson Daniels out of the NBA G League, out of the G League Ignite. Give me your thoughts on Dyson heading to New Orleans.
I absolutely love this selection for the New Orleans Pelicans. I think that Dyson Daniels is someone who will be a serious contributor for this New Orleans Pelicans team sooner rather than later. And really, I think that his biggest concerns as a prospect are mitigated by him ending up in New Orleans and him playing for the Pelicans. He'll be able to really play to his strengths. He's one of the best defensive prospects in this class, 6'8 point guard who's a really good playmaker. And, you know, in terms of how he fits in with the Pelicans, he's not someone who needs the ball a lot in terms of offensive touches, which, I mean, given that the Pelicans team has Zion Williamson coming back and Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum as leading scorers from last season, it's perfectly fine that Dyson Daniels is not going to be scoring the ball all that much. But he's someone who will move the ball really well as a passer to the bigger offensive stars on the New Orleans team, and he's also someone who can really cover for C.J. McCollum on the defensive end. You know, given his size and his agility on the perimeter, he's someone who can take on the tougher guard matchup on defense every night, and I think he will be a huge boost to this Pelicans team, both in the short term and in the longer term. I mean, he, especially towards the end of the G League Ignite season, started shooting much better from three-point range than he had earlier in the year, and if he can be closer to the 40% shooter that he was his last 10 games for the G League Ignite rather than the less good, let's say, shooter that he was at the beginning of the season for the G League Ignite, I think that this will be an even better pick for the Pelicans. But even if his shooting doesn't quite come around, I think this is a wonderful fit for player and team in terms of Dyson Daniels going to the Pelicans. I think he will really help them on the defensive end right away. I think he'll be an excellent playmaker that will really help get the ball to New Orleans star offensive players in the best positions for them to do damage with the ball in their hands. So I really love this.
I like this pick too, Dyson Daniels out of Australia, drafted by the New Orleans Pelicans, 8th overall. Let's move along now to the 9th overall pick in the draft. And for the first time, we have England representing in this draft. We had the San Antonio Spurs selecting Jeremy Sochan. Jeremy played 1 year at Baylor and also had a lot of international experience playing for a short period of time in Poland. Give me your thoughts on Jeremy being selected by the San Antonio Spurs.
I think that this selection makes a lot of sense. The San Antonio Spurs are well-renowned for being able to rebuild players' jump shots, and Jeremy Sochan is basically a jump shot away from being a seriously dangerous player. But really the main draw for Jeremy Sochan is his defensive play, and right away with San Antonio, they're getting a switchable, versatile forward who can fill a lot of gaps for them on the defensive end and who has a burgeoning offensive game as well. And if he can really iron out his shot with the San Antonio Spurs, I think this is going to look like another excellent selection from the Spurs up near the top of the draft at number 9 overall.
I want to stay just with San Antonio for a moment. This pick is really good. I thought of it in terms of we've known that San Antonio, really since the 90s, their love affair with international players. We've seen it with Tim Duncan out of the U.S. Virgin Islands, Tony Parker being from France, Manu Ginobili being from Argentina, also Boris Diaw coming from France, and the list goes on and on. What do you think Jeremy's going to do in terms of bringing a British flair to the Spurs and really to the community of San Antonio?
So, oddly enough, I actually happen to be a British citizen, so this is right up my alley. It's interesting because England has been obviously sports powerhouse in soccer/football since its inception, really, but they haven't had much of a basketball presence. I mean, they had Joel Freeland, who played for a little bit in the NBA, and, you know, that's kind of it for them in terms of NBA talent. So for Jeremy Sochan to come in, you know, as a British citizen, someone who, you know, I think really can help to sort of revitalize/grow the game in England. I mean, it's a country that I think could provide a lot of basketball talent in the longer term, and especially from what we've seen with Sochan, you know, if they get the kind of athletes that they normally put on the football pitch out there onto the basketball court, I think that Jeremy Sochan could be the first in a long line of success stories for the country. It's just a matter of, you know, someone kind of being the first in a sense. You know, England has had NBA players before, but no one at the level of being drafted 9th overall. I believe the highest previously selected British player was picked 49th overall by the San Antonio Spurs, of course, a while back. So I think it'll be really great for the game of basketball in England to have Jeremy Sochan representing their country. You know, he also, of course, is a Polish national and, you know, played some time in Poland. But, you know, with Marcin Gortat in particular, Poland has a bit of a longer history with the NBA than England does. So I think for both of those countries, it will be really wonderful to see Jeremy Sochan out there on the court. But particularly for England, given that that's a nation that has not had much success in terms of playing basketball at the NBA level.
One last question before you move on to the next pick. You mentioned that you have English roots, and Jeremy mentioned that whenever he's out of England, he misses eating a full English breakfast. Do you enjoy eating a full English breakfast?
I think that England gets a lot more negative comments about their food than they should, especially given how wonderful a full English breakfast is. If you've never tried it, you really should at some point. There are some foods maybe that some people might not think are breakfast foods, but that actually work really well. So I am a huge fan of English breakfast as well. So very happy that Jeremy Sohan gave that shout out to English breakfast. It's one of the more underrated parts of British cuisine.
Can you explain to the listeners, Nick, what consists of the full English breakfast?
Okay, so the one that is probably going to upset people the most is baked beans are a pretty big part of a full British breakfast. It actually works better than you think it would. There's also black pudding, which is something that people, you either love it or you hate it. I'm one of the people that loves it, so I'm perfectly happy with that. And then the rest of it, I think, is, you know, more sort of common fare, you know, toast, baked potatoes, bacon, eggs, all of those sorts of things that I think are, you know, also parts of traditional American breakfast. But, you know, when you have a full English breakfast, it's a lot of food. It's, you know, certainly healthier than going the pancakes route in terms of the nutrients that you're getting from that meal. And, you know, I don't know, it's something that I think that if you just sort of look at it and have never had an English breakfast before, it's maybe not something that would appeal to you, but I would encourage people to give it a try. It works together as a breakfast package a lot better than people think, and I'm a huge fan of it.
Awesome. Thank you for explaining that to us, sir. And again, that's Jeremy Sohan was drafted by the San Antonio Spurs as the 9th overall pick. Let's move along now to the 10th overall pick and the Washington Wizards. They drafted Johnny Davis, shooting guard out of the University of Wisconsin. And I really love this pick, Nick. I really enjoyed watching Johnny during the March Madness this past season in the NCAA tournament. Johnny was a dynamo for the Wisconsin Badgers, and definitely Washington is going to need a lot of offense pending what happens with the Bradley Beal situation. Give me your thoughts on Johnny heading to D.C.
I absolutely love this pick as well. Johnny Davis was 6th on my board, so he falls a bit here to the Washington Wizards at number 10, and I think he's someone who makes a lot of sense for the Wizards, whether or not Bradley Beal sticks around. I think he had a much larger offensive role at Wisconsin than he would at the NBA level, and some of his scoring inefficiencies, especially down the stretch run of the season, were in part due to him playing hurt down the end of the year, but also in part due to him really carrying the entirety of that Wisconsin offense. I think that he's one of the best defensive guards in this draft, and he will really help shore up the perimeter defense for the Wizards sooner rather than later. I think he's someone who does all right with the ball in his hands, but really his best role is as a mid-range scorer who I think his three-point shot will come around sooner rather than later. But he'll fill a lot of gaps for this Wizards team, whether Bradley Beal sticks around or not. He's not a point guard, which is something that I think the Wizards really needed, but he is a guard who can provide a lot of impact on both ends of the floor for his team. So I think that this was an excellent selection for the Washington Wizards, and I think that Johnny Davis is someone who will make an impact on both ends of the floor sooner rather than later at the NBA level.
All right, so Johnny Davis was selected 10th overall by the Washington Wizards out of the University of Wisconsin. Let's move along now to the 11th overall pick, Ousmane Dieng, out of France. We have our first selection out of France in the first round, and he played in New Zealand, and he was originally drafted by the New York Knicks, much to the chagrin of a lot of Knicks fans, and later he was traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So we talked about the Thunder getting Chet Holmgren, and they just continue to add to that young nucleus for the Thunder. Give me your thoughts on Ousmane going to OKC after originally being drafted by the Knicks.
Yes. So we over at No Ceilings NBA did a live stream of the draft last night, and we happened to have two Knicks fans on the stream for that particular selection, and they were not pleased. I will put it lightly. They were not pleased when the Knicks ended up trading out of that selection. For the Oklahoma City Thunder, who actually ended up with Ousmane Dieng here, I think that this is a solid upside swing for them. Ousmane Dieng is someone who really, really struggled at the beginning of the NBL season for the New Zealand Breakers, but by the end of the year, he had really turned things around. I think he's a bit more of a developmental project, but, I mean, this OKC team is certainly willing to, you know, take risks on longer-term projects. And I think sort of similarly to Shaedon Sharpe in a way, Usman Jang is someone who, you know, has a very wide range of outcomes at the NBA level, but I think that Oklahoma City is one of the best spots in the league for him to realize his potential. And, I mean, if he blossoms into the kind of player that he could be in the longer term, this will look like even more of a steal for the Oklahoma City Thunder than Knicks fans already thought it was after the draft night trade.
All right, so Usman Jang was drafted originally by the New York Knicks but traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder at pick number 11. Let's go now to pick number 12. The Oklahoma City Thunder, again, they struck gold once again, selecting Jalen Williams out of Santa Clara. That was originally the Clippers pick, but Oklahoma City had that pick, and they drafted Jalen. Any thoughts on this pick with the Thunder continuing to add to that young nucleus?
So Jalen Williams is someone who we over at No Ceilings NBA have been a huge fan of for a long time, and him going 12 to the Thunder is certainly, I think, on the higher end of the range where people projected him to get drafted, but he's been someone who has just been climbing and climbing and climbing up draft boards, basically, you know, during the stretch run of the college season, but in particular after the NBA Combine, where he was incredibly impressive. And with Oklahoma City in Jalen Williams, I think they've got someone who will be a really solid all-around NBA player sooner rather than later. You know, he's got serious size as a wing at 6'6", but with a 7'2 wingspan, he's got an incredibly high basketball IQ. He makes the right reads on the court, and he's someone who I think will help the Thunder in a whole lot of ways, fill a lot of gaps. And he's someone who makes a ton of sense as the fifth guy in that sort of Thunder lineup that I mentioned earlier with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Josh Giddey, Lu Dort, and Chet Holmgren. You know, that's a little bit of a small version of that lineup, but you plug Usman Jang in instead of Jalen Williams, and that's a little bit bigger version of that lineup as well. I really love what the Oklahoma City Thunder did on draft night, and adding Jalen Williams to their young core, I think, gives them a whole lot of flexibility, both in terms of the short term with their roster construction, but, you know, also in the longer term in case they decide that they want to make some trades down the line. I think Jalen Williams can fill a lot of gaps if they trade someone like a Lu Dort in the longer term.
You mentioned earlier, Nick, and that's Jalen Duren. Jalen was one of my favorite picks in this draft. He was originally drafted by the Charlotte Hornets, with Charlotte having the 13th overall pick, but later traded to the Detroit Pistons, and that just upped the real estate value even higher for the Pistons. Cade Cunningham, the number one overall pick last year, and then the Pistons also wind up getting Jaden Ivey. Now they get Jalen Duren in a trade. Give me your thoughts on Jalen heading to the Motor City.
Jalen Duren lobs from Cade Cunningham are going to be some of the most fun players to watch in the NBA next year. With Duren, the Pistons are getting a center who's going to be exceptional on transition offense. He's going to be someone who can clean up mistakes around the basket, catch lobs, and on the defensive end, I mean, he was really solid as a rim protector. I think that he could potentially be able to play in switching schemes in the longer term, but I mean, in terms of his defense, you know, he had really good moments at Memphis. He had some rougher moments at Memphis in terms of his defense. But in terms of defensive potential, I think he could end up being one of the best defenders in this draft. And, I mean, on the offensive end, he's going to be lethal in transition right away. He's going to be lethal as a lob-catching threat right away. And he's also a really underrated passer, and I think that's going to fit in exceptionally well with the Detroit Pistons. You know, having someone in the post who can – you know, kick the ball back out to Cade Cunningham or Jaden Ivey or Sadiq Bey as a spot-up guy on the perimeter. And he's someone who can keep the ball moving, keep the offense moving, but also really contribute as a pick-and-roll threat and, you know, potentially even be a bigger offensive player in the longer term if he can develop his jump shot a bit. But even if he doesn't, I mean, he is going to be so much fun alongside Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey. The Detroit Pistons instantly become one of the most fun teams in the league to watch in transition with those three guys running the ball up.
Absolutely. And let's move along now to the 14th overall pick. Ojai Agbaji out of the University of Kansas, the defending champion Kansas Jayhawks. Ochai was the only senior that was drafted in the first round. He's headed to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And again, this is a great and unique situation for him, Nick, going to Cleveland. Give me your thoughts on Ochai heading to the Cavs.
This was my favorite fit of all the selections in the lottery. I love Ochai Agbaji as a prospect. I've been a fan of his since his first season at Kansas, when he was an elite athlete with serious defensive chops who didn't have much of an offensive game. And over the course of his 4 years at Kansas, he really displayed his incredible work ethic by just how much he grew as a player, from this really raw defensive talent to this exceptional shooter. He's one of the best shooters in the class, ended up at 41% this past season on nearly 7 attempts per game. He's someone who, for the Cleveland Cavaliers, is going to fit in almost perfectly right away as an exceptional off-ball defender who will really shore up their defense on the wing and provide a spot-up shooting threat around the Cavaliers' front court and alongside Darius Garland. I think that Ochai Agbaji fits perfectly for the Cleveland Cavaliers. It was my favorite fit of any of the picks in the lottery, and I am just very happy that Ochai ended up in what I think is going to be a fantastic situation for him in Cleveland. You know, he just won a national championship. He brings a winning mentality and, you know, winning success in the past to this Cleveland Cavaliers team that was the number one seed in the Eastern Conference at one point last season, and then injuries and struggles down the stretch, you know, dropped them out of the playoff picture. I think with Ochai Agbaji at 14th overall, they're getting someone who will be a playoff contributor for the Cleveland Cavaliers team, and I think he will help them actually shore up a spot in the playoffs rather than falling into the play-in and then out of playoff contention down the stretch run of the season. So I absolutely love this selection for Ochai Agbaji personally, and I also think it's a wonderful, wonderful pick for the Cleveland Cavaliers here at 14th overall.
I couldn't agree with you more, Nick. This talent roster is going to be off the chain in Cleveland with Agbaji. And then when you add Jared Allen, one of the best defenders in the league, and, of course, you mentioned Darius Garland, and then you've got Evan Mobley in the mix as well, and then, of course, Caris LeVert. And when you've got the experience of Kevin Love, man, Cleveland is going to be – I definitely agree with you, and this Cleveland is going to be a playoff team next year. Let's move along now to Mark Williams. He was drafted 15th overall by the Charlotte Hornets. This was originally a pick that belonged to the New Orleans Pelicans, but the Charlotte Hornets drafted Mark Williams out of the University of Duke. Any thoughts on Mark going to Charlotte?
Mark Williams to the Charlotte Hornets, either at number 13 or number 15, has probably been the most frequent mock draft choice of the entire 2022 NBA draft cycle, and there's a reason for that. You know, Mark Williams makes a lot of sense for this Hornets team. They really needed a big man who can protect the paint, be a rim protector, while also providing a lob threat on the offensive end and setting solid screens for LaMelo Ball on the perimeter. And Mark Williams fits that role to a T. He's the most NBA-ready center in this class, in my opinion. And I think him going at 15 to Charlotte just makes so much sense for both player and team. There's a reason that he was mocked so frequently to the Charlotte Hornets, and it's not surprising to me at all that he ended up there, but at the same time, I'm very happy that he did end up there because I think it's a fit that makes a ton of sense for both player and team. So I think Charlotte did really well by selecting Mark Williams here. I think that it's interesting that they ended up trading away Jalen Duren after taking him at 13th overall, but you know, ultimately they got a guy in Mark Williams who's a bit more NBA ready and who I think will fit in right away as the starting center for the Charlotte Hornets.
All right, there's some other picks that I would like to kind of get into if you don't mind. We had picks 16, 17, and 18. A.J. Griffin out of Duke was drafted by the Atlanta Hawks. Tari Eason out of LSU was drafted by the Houston Rockets. That pick belonged to the Brooklyn Nets, but Houston got that pick. And then at number 18, Dalen Terry was drafted by the Chicago Bulls out of the University of Arizona. Any thoughts come to your mind about any of those picks?
A.J. Griffin is someone who I had in the top 10 and who many draft analysts had in the top 10. So he was one of the biggest surprise fallers on draft night. Him ending up going 16 to the Atlanta Hawks, I think, could really work out well for Atlanta and for AJ Griffin too. I mean, he is an absolutely elite shooter who there are certainly some questions about his defense and his ability to score with the ball in his hands, but right away he provides a serious spot-up threat for Trae Young to kick out to on the perimeter. So I really like that selection for the Atlanta Hawks. Tari Eason going to the Houston Rockets, he's someone who provides defense and defensive playmaking right away, and pairing him with Jabari Smith Jr., that's a seriously dangerous defensive forward tandem that the Houston Rockets have gotten. So I think that pick made a lot of sense for the Houston Rockets going with Tari Eason there. And then Dalen Terry is someone who was incredibly impressive the last month and a half of the season for Arizona after injury to Kirk Freeza really gave him a much larger role in the rotation. He really impressed in those minutes with Arizona down the stretch run of the season. And, you know, for the Chicago Bulls, they're getting someone who's an exceptional passer, real playmaking talent. The shot is definitely coming around for him, and he's incredibly efficient scoring inside the arc. So I think he's someone who can fill a lot of gaps for this Chicago Bulls team while also being someone who has the potential to develop into something really special, especially as, you know, a playmaker with a ball in his hand. So those were three picks that I think really made a lot of sense. AJ Griffin in particular is someone who fell a lot farther than I would have expected. And with Atlanta, he, I think, can be really successful just as someone who will be an instant spot-up threat alongside Trae Young, who, you know, he can bring the rest of his game around more slowly if that's how it works, and certainly a lot less pressure on him going at 16 than it would have been if he'd gone in the top 10. And I think right away his incredible shooting touch is going to be a huge boost to the Atlanta Hawks.
All right, let's move along now to number 19 and number 20. At 19, Jake LaRavia was drafted originally by the Minnesota Timberwolves, but he was later traded to the Memphis Grizzlies. So Jake ends up in Memphis. He played out of Wake Forest. And Malachi Branham, pick number 20, he was originally drafted. He was drafted by the San Antonio Spurs. Again, that was Toronto's original pick, but the Spurs wound up drafting him, and Malachi is out of Ohio State. Any thoughts on Jake and Malachi?
So with Jake LaRavia, he's someone who is one of the most switchable, versatile defenders in this class while also providing shooting touch from the outside and playmaking. I think with Memphis, they have such an incredibly deep team already, and adding Jake LaRavia to that mix just gives them more lineup flexibility, more versatility as a team. I think LaRavia will provide solid defense close to right away, sooner rather than later, certainly at the NBA level, while also being a really solid playmaker and shooter. I think that he's someone who will fit right into this already really deep Memphis rotation and help bolster a lot of their lineup constructions. And then with Malachi Branham going to the San Antonio Spurs, he's someone who I thought was a lottery-level prospect, so obviously it's great that the Spurs ended up picking him at 20th. It is interesting to me that they went with Malachi Branham here, you know, given the guard depth that they already have on the roster, but you know, in the longer term with the Spurs, I think Branham is someone who's really great at creating his own shot and is an excellent three-point shooter who will be a serious spot-up threat right away. It'll be interesting to see how many opportunities he does get with the ball in his hands at the NBA level for the Spurs, but, you know, even without him getting that many reps on the ball, I think he's someone who provides a serious spot-up threat for this Spurs team basically right away.
All right, let's move along now to number 21 and number 22. First at 21, Christian Braun out of the University of Kansas, the defending champion, Kansas Jayhawks. He was drafted by the Denver Nuggets. And then at 22, Walker Kessler out of Auburn University. He was drafted originally by the Memphis Grizzlies, but later traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So any thoughts on Christian and Walker?
So I think for Christian, going to the Denver Nuggets is a situation that will really work out well for him. He's an exceptional cutter as well as someone who has really developed not just his three-point shot, but also his ability to attack closeouts when defenses do try and push him off the three-point line. That was something that he really showed in his junior year at Kansas after struggling a bit with his shooting during his sophomore season because teams were sort of forcing him off the line. I think his combination of cutting, his shooting ability, and his effort on the defensive end will fit in really well with the Denver Nuggets, and I certainly think that Nikola Jokic is going to love having Christian Braun cutting off ball to the rim for the Denver Nuggets team. Walker Kessler, I think, was one of the more confusing selections for me in the first round, but ultimately I think the idea here for Minnesota was you know, getting a real rim-protecting, shot-blocking threat behind Karl-Anthony Towns as a backup center. I think defensively he could do a lot of good for this Timberwolves team. I was a bit more confused by that pick, certainly, than I was by Denver taking Brown a pick earlier, but it could work out for the Timberwolves if he does end up being a serious shot-blocking threat for them off the bench in the longer term.
All right, let's move along now to pick number 23, David Roddy out of Colorado State University. He was originally drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers, but later traded to the Memphis Grizzlies. I think this is a great pick for Memphis, considering, remember, Steven Adams, his in-the-paint presence, he gives you great defense, but not much on the offensive side. But with Roddy, he gives you not only defense, but also gives you rebounding and points in the paint and a solid shooter as well, someone that can relieve Jaren Jackson Jr. coming off of the bench. Your thoughts on David headed to Memphis?
I have to admit that this was the most surprising pick in the first round for me. I didn't think that David Roddy would go 23rd overall, but given how incredibly successful Memphis has been with their draft picks in recent years, you know, there's definitely reason to see the upside with the Roddy selection here. You know, he does provide a lot on the offensive end. He has a really fascinating game as a 6'6", 260-pound player who can do quite a bit with the ball in his hands. It'll be really interesting for me to see sort of how he fits in with this Grizzlies rotation. Again, a bit of a surprising pick for me at 23rd overall, but certainly given Memphis's history, I do not want to question their draft selection here in any way. I thought that Roddy would have been, you know, maybe an early second round type of guy. So again, I was a bit surprised that he ended up going as high as 23rd overall, but you know, clearly there was a lot to like in his game and Memphis really liked what they saw in his game for Colorado State. So a pick that I certainly wasn't expecting at 23rd overall, but I think there are definitely ways in which it could work out really well for the Memphis Grizzlies.
All right, that takes care of Philadelphia. Had originally drafted David Roddy, the 23rd overall pick, but he was later traded to the Memphis Grizzlies. Let's move along now to pick number 24, Marjon Beauchamp. Man, what a story. A great draft night story, overwhelmed with emotion as he was drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks. Again, another product out of the NBA G League, playing for the G League Ignite team. Give me your thoughts on Marjon heading to Milwaukee.
My favorite part of NBA draft night is watching these young people who have had this dream of playing in the NBA for so long and who have worked so hard to get to that point and who finally get the wonderful moment of hearing their names called on NBA draft night. And that is more true for Marjon Beauchamp than anyone else. I mean, he's someone who struggled with homelessness during his youth. He played in community college for a few games before going to the G League Ignite. And he has put in so much work on his game. And he has just worked so exceptionally hard to get to this point in his life. And it was really wonderful to see him experience those emotions on draft night when he got to hear his name called, you know, got to go up on the stage, shake Commissioner Silver's hand, and have his dream come true. And after the incredible amount of work that he's put in and the place that he came from before the draft, it was just wonderful from a human perspective for me to see Marjon Beauchamp really show his emotions on draft night. In terms of the actual basketball fit, I think this makes a ton of sense for Milwaukee. Really, with Beauchamp, you're getting someone who will be a connecting piece on the offensive end, who provides serious grit and size on the wing on the defensive end. I think that he's someone who could be a rotation player for these Bucks sooner rather than later. And, you know, I love the basketball fit for Marjon Beauchamp going to an excellent team in the Milwaukee Bucks, but just from a human perspective, it was wonderful to see him get to have that moment on the stage of NBA draft night. So happy for both player and basketball fit in terms of Marjon Beauchamp going to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Indeed, it's always great. As you mentioned, Nick, there's nothing like draft night. That's my favorite part as well, just seeing these players, hearing their amazing stories, and definitely Marjon definitely had a great story. And he's on his way to the Milwaukee Bucks, the 24th overall pick. All right, picks 25 and 26. 25th overall pick was Blake Wesley, going to the San Antonio Spurs out of the University of Notre Dame. And then pick 26, Wendell Moore out of Duke University. Again, originally drafted by the Dallas Mavericks, but was traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Any thoughts on Blake and Wendell?
So Blake Leslie is someone that I was a bit lower on as a prospect, but I think with the Spurs having him as their third first-round selection, it's an upside swing that I'm comfortable with for them. You know, I would have gone with other prospects here from the Spurs' perspective, but with Blake Leslie, he's someone who has serious shot creation talent. He was incredibly inefficient during his season at Notre Dame, and that certainly concerns me in terms of his offensive game in the longer term, but on the defensive end, he had some really solid flashes. So, you know, for a Spurs team that already had two first-round picks, I think that this is a gamble that makes a ton of sense. And then Wendell Moore going to the Timberwolves, I think he's someone who has a great all-around game that will fit in really well with these Timberwolves squad. He's someone who can, you know, space the floor, who can cover multiple different guys on the defensive end in terms of switching across matchups. So I think he's a versatile forward that makes a ton of sense for this Timberwolves squad at 26 overall.
All right, and let's move along now to the 27th overall pick out of Serbia. Not Jokic, but Jovic, Nikola Jovic. I was selected by the Miami Heat. So, Nick, we know about another Serbian player from the Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, the two-time reigning league MVP. But we have a Nikola Jovic drafted by the Miami Heat. Give me your thoughts on Jovic going to Miami.
So I have been higher on Nikola Jovic than many, many people who covered the NBA draft throughout the season, and I think that him falling to 27th overall to the Miami Heat is really a wonderful situation for him to end up in. He's someone who, at 6'11", has exceptional playmaking skills and really solid shooting touch. The question with him is on the defensive end, and I think that the Miami Heat are definitely a team that can, you know, help him bring out the best of his defensive game. I don't think he's ever going to be a good defensive player at the NBA level, but I think that the Miami Heat can get him to the point on defense where he is, you know, closer to below average than bad on the defensive end. And, I mean, if he can develop his defensive game to the point where he makes sense on that end in some construct, I think that he has an incredibly high offensive ceiling if everything works out. I think that the Miami Heat is an excellent situation for him to go to. And, you know, in the shorter term, he can bolster their rotation as a playmaking big man who can shoot from the perimeter. And in the longer term, you know, if he can figure out a bit more on the defensive end and continue to grow his offensive game, I think he could end up being one of the steals of the draft here.
All right. And then the last three picks in the first round, number 28 overall belonged to the Golden State Warriors. They drafted Patrick Baldwin Jr. out of Milwaukee, and Ty Washington, the 29th overall pick out of the University of Kentucky, originally drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies, but winds up going to the Houston Rockets, adding to that young nucleus. And then the last pick in the first round, the 30th overall pick, belonging to the Oklahoma City Thunder, they drafted Peyton Watson out of UCLA, but he was later traded to the Denver Nuggets. So any thoughts on Patrick, Tata, and Peyton?
I think that all three of these fits are fantastic for the players in question. With Patrick Baldwin Jr., he was someone who had top 10, maybe even top 5 buzz heading into this season, and he really struggled playing for University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And I think with him going to the Golden State Warriors, they can emphasize the best parts of his game and cover up for some of his weaknesses. I think that this is a pick that just makes a ton of sense for the Golden State Warriors. You know, he's one of the best shooters in this class and has size at 6'10". He's someone who they can play in their rotation right away as a spot-up shooter. You know, I think he was a bit miscast this past season in college as a primary offensive weapon, which is not really the best parts of his game, but he won't need to have the ball in his hands all that much with Golden State. All he'll really need to do is spot up and space the floor, and that is where he's exceptionally talented. He has an incredibly smooth stroke at 6'10", and I think he will fit in excellently for the defending champions. With Ty Washington going to the Houston Rockets, I really love this selection, actually. I think that Ty was incredibly underrated as a playmaker. He didn't have the ball in his hands as much as I think he should have at Kentucky this past season with Sevier Wheeler handing the point guard responsibilities for them, but you know, especially in Ty's game against Georgia this past season where he broke the Kentucky assist record, and some of his other games as well, I think showed that he can be a really great passing talent who I think fits in with the rest of this Rockets roster quite well. And, you know, in terms of when he doesn't have the ball in his hands, I think he's an excellent mid-range scorer who also has a solid enough shot from three-point range that he can, you know, space the floor and play off ball as he did this past season at Kentucky. So I really love this fit for the Houston Rockets at 29. And then at 30, the Denver Nuggets took someone in Peyton Watson, who is a bit of a longer-term project, I think, but defensively he has exceptional potential on the defensive end. And then in terms of the offense, he is a really great cutter off the ball. And, you know, again, as I said, for Christian Brown with the Nuggets pick at 21st overall, you know, having guys who are exceptional off-ball cutters, those guys fit really well alongside Nikola Jokic for the Denver Nuggets. So I think with Peyton Watson, you know, he might be a bit of a longer-term project, but his defensive potential and ability to at least be an off-ball cutter right away for the Denver Nuggets, I think that he will have the latitude to sort of be developed slowly, and he's someone who, again, could also be one of the biggest steals in this draft if everything works out right for him. I mean, he had a lot of top 10 buzz heading into the season and didn't have much opportunity at UCLA to show the kind of player he can be, but with Denver, he'll get a lot of opportunities cutting off the ball early on, and he'll get chances to show his defensive potential and, you know, maybe grow into someone who is a serious long-term piece for this Denver Nuggets squad.
And there you have it. That was the 30 overall picks in the first round of the 2022 NBA draft. All right, Nick, in your opinion, who were the winners and losers in this year's draft?
Man, it is difficult to evaluate those kinds of things, but I think the biggest winner in my mind is the Detroit Pistons. Them getting Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren as, you know, their two guys early in this draft or in the lottery, that's an exceptional haul for the Detroit Pistons. And, you know, I think that ultimately, even though I was perfectly happy with Kings taking Keegan Murray at fourth overall, Jaden Ivey did fall a bit to Detroit at fifth. And I'm sure they are just ecstatic that he was on the board for them there. And for them to not only get Jaden Ivey with the fifth pick, but for them to also pick up Jalen Duren in this draft, I think that's an exceptional haul for Troy Weaver and the Detroit Pistons. In terms of losers, I mean, I think it has to be the New York Knicks. I don't get what they were trying to do on draft night. I think that they should have stuck around with the 11th pick. You know, maybe they didn't like the way that the board had fallen for them at that point. But, I mean, you know, two of the next three picks in Jalen Williams and Ochai Agbaji would have made a ton of sense for this Knicks team if they just held on to the pick. And, you know, even with Usman Jang, I think that he's someone who has serious upside, serious potential, and the Knicks trading out of the lottery entirely, I don't get why they did that. So, you know, even though it's not me saying that I thought they made bad selections, I think that it was a really poor decision by their front office to trade out of the lottery when they had a chance with the 11th overall pick to select someone who could have made a serious difference for the Knicks roster in the long term.
Two words, James Dolan. That's all I have to say about that. And
absolutely.
Unfortunately, the Knicks woes continue on draft night. What were some of the things that caught you by surprise in this 2022 NBA draft?
So David Roddy going at 23rd was probably the biggest surprise for me in the first round. But I think the biggest surprise for me overall was E.J. Liddell fell all the way to the 41st pick going to the New Orleans Pelicans, and he's someone who I thought was a top 20 prospect in this draft. I mean, he developed so much as a defensive player and a shot blocker this past season at Ohio State. He slowly brought along his three-point shooting game. He was almost a 20-point-per-game scorer for Ohio State this past season. He can do a ton of damage in the post when he has mismatches. He's a pretty solid passer, excellent screener. And I think that he is a pretty clear first-round talent in my mind who fell all the way to the 41st overall pick. So, you know, another awesome get, I think, for the New Orleans Pelicans with E.J. Liddell falling all the way to 41st. I thought he was a pretty clear first-round guy. I thought he was a pretty clear top 20 guy, honestly. I thought that, you know, his all-around game gave him a very high floor in terms of the draft, and yet he fell all the way to 41, and I think the New Orleans Pelicans are going to be very, very happy that they ended up with E.J. Liddell in the second round of this draft.
All right, Nick, we've seen the NFL draft take a different approach in going to different cities across the country. They've been doing this for maybe the last 5 or 6 years now, and it's been so successful where they've made the NFL draft a part of make the fans feel a part of that experience. Do you think the NBA draft should follow the NFL draft situation and have it in different cities every year? Do you like the setup of the NBA draft remaining in New York?
That is a fascinating question. I have been to the Barclays Center for the draft once in 2017, and it was a really cool experience. So, you know, from that perspective, I think that it's really cool to have that draft experience be in the Barclays Center every year. You know, also given that the league offices are in New York, it does make a lot of sense that they're having the draft held in New York every year. But I don't know. I mean, I think it is a interesting model that the NFL has where they, you know, move the draft around every year, have it be a bit more of a nationwide event rather than something that happens in New York every year. So I think from a logistical perspective, it does make sense to have the draft be held in the same city as the NBA league offices. But I think from a fan perspective, it would be really cool to have the draft move around to a bunch of different NBA cities. I mean, it's such a big part of All-Star Weekend to have, you know, NBA cities across the map get to experience All-Star Weekend rather than just, you know, having it in the same place every year. The draft is a bit of a different experience. You know, it's a one-day thing, obviously, rather than All-Star Weekend, which is, you know, more of a multi-day event, obviously. But I don't know. I mean, I really did enjoy going to the draft in Brooklyn. I think Barclays is a wonderful venue for holding the draft, and I think it does make a lot of sense logistically. But I also think it would be a lot of fun to have the draft move around. And I think it was particularly clear this year, given that the Brooklyn Nets didn't actually have a selection in this draft, you know, that it might have been more fun to have the draft be in, say, Orlando, where, you know, the whole home crowd could just really get into it when the Orlando Magic make the number one overall selection. So it's an interesting model that the NFL has, and I think there are a lot of ways in which it makes sense for the NBA to continue doing what they're doing, but I also think it'd be a lot of fun to have the draft sort of move around more.
All right, and you heard it from him. He is Nick Agard-Johnson, editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA. He's also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic, and also the co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast with Tyler Metcalf. Again, Nick, thank you so much, as always, for being on the program. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as Hashtag Basketball, Nets Republic, also No Ceilings NBA, the NBA Deep Dives podcast, and any websites that you have, let them know that as well.
Absolutely. So you can find me on Twitter at NBAJOHNSON, and all of my work goes up on my Twitter feed at some point. So if you want to check out my written work, podcasts, radio interviews, then it will all appear on my Twitter feed at some point in time. NoCeilingsNBA.com. All of our work will go up there, NoCeilingsNBA.com. So definitely check that out. And NoCeilingsNBA is at NoCeilingsNBA on social media. Hashtag basketball, hashtag basketball.com, at #PBasketball on Twitter, and then Nets Republic, netsrepublic.com, and at Nets Republic on Twitter.
Awesome, and you heard it from him. He is Nick Agard-Johnson, again, editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA. He's also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic, and he is also the co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast with Tyler Metcalf. Nick, as always, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on the program again, and looking forward to hopefully coming back on and chatting about basketball with you sometime soon.
Awesome, awesome. We'll be back with more right after this.
With the first pick in the 2022 NBA draft, the Orlando Magic select Paolo Banchero from Duke University.
I can't believe what just happened, honestly. I never would have thought that this would happen. You know, I wanted to be in the NBA, but I didn't know I would be here, man. I really honestly didn't. So this is unbelievable, and I can't speak right now. I'm sorry.
With the second pick in the 2022 NBA draft, the Oklahoma City Thunder select Chet Holmgren from Gonzaga University.
Everything.
it's a mix of 1,000 emotions, and yet I have zero words to explain it. This is, you know, everything I've looked forward to for a long time. You know, OKC Thunder, let's work. Let's work.
With the third pick in the 2022 draft, the Houston Rockets select Jabari Smith Jr. from Auburn University.
This is what I do before every game. Just calm myself down, and that's what I put on the inside. With my shooting ability and my love for defense, I feel I can come in right away and just make an instant impact.
The Sacramento Kings select Keegan Murray from the University of Iowa.
Yeah, it's just special. For me, I grew up 20 minutes from campus, from the University of Iowa, and I think it's just a dream come true. For me, it's about leading the future of the Iowa program. I think this is the first step in doing that.
With the fifth pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Detroit Pistons select Jaden Ivey from Purdue University.
I work day in and day out to just get to this level. And, you know, I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. And I'm just so happy.
I'm speechless almost. You know, like, this is his dream come true. You know, to be in Detroit, we have so many amazing roots in Detroit. To be able, for him to, you know, be able to walk on that stage, and I'm just so joyful. I'm so happy for him. So I'm just taking it all in, soaking it all in.
It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
This summer, get road trip ready with the brake experts at Midas. With up to $100 back on two-axle brake service when you use your Midas credit card. So you can make sure every stop on your road trip is one you want to make. Request your appointment today at Midas.com. This summer, get road trip ready with the brake experts at Midas. With up to $100 back on two-axle brake service when you use your Midas credit card. So you can make sure every stop on your road trip is one you want to make. Request your appointment today at Midas.com.
The first person to survive Alzheimer's disease is out there, and the Alzheimer's Association is going to make it happen. But we won't get there without you. Visit ALZ.org to join the fight.
Areas like Flint, Michigan brought to light a community's struggle with water contamination. But this problem isn't isolated. Our nation's aging water infrastructure is a challenge across America. How can we best address this water crisis? Join us as we talk with Rich Anderson from the U.S. Conference of Mayors and explore solutions. You can listen to Sustainably Speaking wherever you stream your podcasts.
The first person to survive Alzheimer's disease is out there. They're going to hold on to everything the disease steals away. And the Alzheimer's Association is going to make it happen by funding research, advancing public policy, and spurring scientific breakthroughs, and by providing local support to those living with the disease and their caregivers. We're easing the burden until we accomplish our goals, but we won't get there without you. Visit ALZ.org to join the fight.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Nick Agar-Johnson, co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast with Tyler Metcalf. He's also the editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic, giving us the full insights on a recap of the 2022 NBA draft. Until next time, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
For over a decade, we've been perfecting the perfect length, fit, and feel of shorts. Our shorts make every weekday feel like the weekend. Chubbies, proper length men's shorts. Use code AUDIO15 for 15% off your first purchase.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.